I think in 20-something years, I've never did a message quite like this one. The way I think it's supposed to go, we're going to go. We'll find out, I guess. let's look at Luke 13. Zach, I think I'm going to do 6 through 8, but we'll see. Luke 13, 6 through 8, I believe. But I got right now anyway. Now we're going to start at verse 1. They have the only work here. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. It says, they were present at that season, some that told him of the Galilean, talking about Jesus, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake us also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Y'all know what dung is, right? Yeah, but we don't just use the word fertilize for it. Anyway, some call it mess. A lot of different stuff. It's the Lord let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, or put fertilizer on it. And if it bear fruit, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, that's as far as that. Then after that, shalt thou cut it down. Now, that is actually the voice of mercy. Why? Because the owner is saying, this thing is sucking up the soil, sucking up the sunshine. If we could do away with it and put something else in its place, then it would give me some fruit. So the voice of mercy and grace is saying, please wait a little longer. Let me dig around it. Let me dig around it. How many of those that don't feel good? Let me dig around it and let me put some mess on it. And y'all got mess today? Oh, y'all at the right place. I know y'all got some. You gonna get some. Let's go over to John 15. Why? Because God loves us.
Amen.
I'm going to start at verse 1. I don't know exactly how far we go there. Now, this is Jesus talking. We know this because it's in red. He says, I am the true vine. Now, remember what we just got through reading. What was the vine dresser is the one that was, he was talking to. He says, I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the husbandman. The Amplified Bible says it this way. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Remember what we just got through reading? The vine dresser told him to take it up. And he asked him, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the one, the Father tells him what to do, and he's the one that comes and does the work in our lives. He's the one that speaks to us. He's the one that quickens us, right? The Spirit does. And he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. So you're going to get pruned whether you do right or you do wrong. You're pruned either way. But one is so your fruit will be bigger. It'll be better. The other one is so you'll just start bearing fruit. It says that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch, now we're the branches, he says, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine, he says, the Father is the vine dresser. He says, no more can you, except except you abide in me. How many knows you cannot live the Christian life apart from a vital relationship with Him? Just cannot do it. Why? It's not in me to do it. Just like that branch, it compares it to a regular tree, you know, a fruit tree, an apple tree, a pear tree, whatever the case may be. How many knows we see the fruit on the branches, but actually the nourishment is coming from where you cannot see it. Down under the ground. That's why I told him, he said, let me dig around it, let me put some fertilizer on it. Why? So that goes down into the ground, into the root system, so you can see the fruit on the branches, and the Bible says we are the branches. He says, apart from me, you can't do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, he's talking about having a close relationship with him, and my words abide in you. What's that mean? What the Bible talks about in Romans 12, too, how that we take the word of God and we renew our mind, and it transforms our life. What does that mean? Just for an example, take poverty for an example. Now, before we got saved, and even a little while after we got saved, because it takes a little while sometimes to get your mind renewed, it's an ever ongoing process, it's supposed to be. But before we got born again, if we didn't have any money or something like that, if we had anything, a lot of times we didn't have nothing, but if we had something, Scotty would go sell it. Or you would pawn. Or I went to the pawn shop and pawned my wedding rings, you know, different stuff like that. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So I guess I only did this. Why? That's a poverty way of thinking. I mean, those rich people don't think, go to the pawn shop. That's a poverty way of thinking. So once we get born again, how many of us, God wants us to come out of that?
Right.
Or we also had this thinking of, go to my granny and papa and borrow the money and we'll pay them back. Now we always pay them back. They will let us borrow the money and we'll pay them back. How many of us, God's not going to allow that for too long either?
Right.
Why? Because He won't allow us to depend on or put our trust in anybody except Him.
Amen.
And He allows certain things for a certain period of time. That's why He's saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and you go get pregnant. Wow, I want some bigger fruit. I want you off your granny bubble. I want you off the pawn shop. I want you off the title pawn where you pay 300% interest.
Right.
Why? Because God loves us. But how is it? It don't feel good.
Y'all ain't saying that.
It didn't feel good when I couldn't go to my granny and papa and ask to borrow money anymore. Why? Now I gotta trust God. I can't see God.
Y'all ain't saying that.
But He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now I've got to take the word of God. The word of God says, see, He'll supply all the money. He says He gives me all things richly to enjoy. That's even above my needs. I didn't want to, but why? Because I richly enjoy it.
What is the matter with y'all today? Y'all mess it up a little bit. Don't be so tight.
God's not tight. He's not hard and harsh. God likes for us to have things. He just don't like for things to have us. He's not going to allow that if you're His. Right? Well, He goes on there. Let's see. What verse we get to? Y'all remember?
Seven.
He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, they have to live in there. They have to be renewing your mind. Just like this, before we got born again, Miss Cardi, I don't know, I can't tell you how many times we separated. I think we was married, what was it, around 7 years before we got saved? And I mean, at times it is every couple of weeks, and other times it's every what? Other times it's every couple of months, and this goes on for 7 years. I love the man, but I can't live with the smart elements. And He loves me, but He can't live with my smart elements. So lo and behold, we get born again, and we're reading the Bible, and we come across this scripture. The Amplified Bible says it this way: God hates divorce. Now, if you've been divorced 5 times, that's your business. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about today, now, when we know we're supposed to change it. Right? I can't change what I didn't know before. Well, lo and behold, we come across this verse that says God hates divorce. So now we're into it. I'm sat down in my car in the driveway, and I'm squabbling and I'm bawling. And I'm saying, God, you're going to have to help me because your word says, I read it for myself, that you hate divorce. That means I can't leave him, I can't separate him, I can't get away from him. You're going to have to help me. And I have never met him again since I got saved. Now, I did have a little bad one time when I was pregnant. years or whatever, 20-something years. I didn't even get to spend the night over there.
Well, why am I saying this? Because I come across that, now my mind is
God loves and hate what God hates, and I want to be obedient to Him, but you're going to have to help me. And how many, He does. Now I just get to go to another room or outside or something other. Why? I cannot leave him anymore. I can't divorce him. Why? And see, that word has transformed my life to where I've been married for, 35 years it'll be this year? You're just looking at me.
36.
You don't count it up for yourself, 1985. Been so long, I forget. I have to count it. This is 21 from 85. Long time anyway. And because of that, now the way that we raised our kid or whatever, and we told him, once you get married, that's it.
Right.
There is no divorce as far as on his part. You understand what I'm saying? If I choose to leave Scotty, he can't help that. The Bible says as long as the non-believer wants to stay with you or whatever, don't leave him. This is going over real good. He goes on and he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, they're living. They're transforming your life because your mind is becoming renewed. He says you can hear the word and not do the word. And what? You deceive your own selves.
Yeah.
But he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, what? That you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, not just if you have a feeling. Right? He says, those that love me, they keep my commandments. Not those that have a feeling toward me and disobey me all the time. Told you it's going real good. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, let's look at John 10. I'm going somewhere with this. I just got to do all this first. Now, for those of you that might be, you didn't hear it, the title is called Dig Around It. John 10, verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's a good thing.
Amen.
You're supplied, right? Not just finances. I mean, those peace of mind is a good thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We know that to be the devil. That's all he ever comes for. That's his full intent. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It means to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now go over to Hebrews 12. I'm sorry. We're going to start in verse 1, I think, through 11, Zach. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses he's talking about is all the ones he talked about in chapter 11. Those that have gone to be with the Lord before us. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how you're going to have to run this life. Live this life. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, talking about Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. It says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. The word chastening there, it means the discipline or the correction. I know we don't hear nothing about this today. Now, how many knows? God still does it. He goes on and he says, the chastening of the Lord. He says, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastening or correction or discipline, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, or we would say illegitimate, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Yeah.
For they verily for a few days chastened or corrected us or disciplined us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. Notice what it says now. It's not because he gets good out of it. Listen to me. A good parent always corrects their kids every time.
Yeah.
Y'all ever heard, I can't. I just love them too much. You're a liar. I'm sorry.
Come on.
I didn't say it. Nobody loves their kids any more than God does. And what's it say? Because he loves us, he does what? He corrects us. He disciplines us. He helps us to get back on the right road. How many knows that takes some time? That takes some effort on a parent's part. Those that really don't care, it just hurts them too much. No, you love you more than you love your kids.
Right.
You love the way it makes you hate the way that it makes you feel to have to discipline them. Oh, ain't saying nothing.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is a lot of what's wrong with the generation today. Okay, let's read on here before we get in trouble. Verse 9, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened or corrected or disciplined us after their own pleasure, but he, talking about God, for our profit or our benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening or discipline or correction for the present seemeth to be joyous. I've never seen a kid that said, oh, mama, just whoop me, please. Y'all ever seen that? Aiden told me yesterday, he said, get the bell. I said, oh, I'm about to get the bell. He said, give me the bell. I said, I'm not going to give it to you the way you think I am, but I'm about to give it to you. Yeah, I never told my mom, I never said, just beat me, please. Just makes me feel so good. No. I mean, we don't even tell God that. God, correct me. Come on, correct me, God. Woo, make me put that buggy back at Walmart. Oh, sign on the door says mask required, and you walk all the way from the other side of the parking lot and forgot your mask. Well, I tell you right now, best God, I don't got to wear no mask. I live in America. I'm an American. Y'all ain't said nothing. Every one of y'all did that, didn't you? It's called a little rebellious there, ain't it?
Yeah.
This is my store, and that's my sign, and you're going to do what I say, or you ain't coming in. This is a privilege to come in the store. I said nothing. It's a privilege to get to come in the store and buy something.
Man.
Not a right. I don't have to let you. Let's move on. Where'd we get to? Verse 10?
Verse 11.
It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, in other words, after God's corrected you, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What does that mean? Exact same thing with your kids. Kids think they don't like stability and discipline, but they do.
Right.
I know, it don't sound right, does it, David? But really they do. Why? Because their life is going to be grievous when they don't have the discipline.
Right.
How many knows, as an adult, my life is going to be grievous if I have no discipline in my life? Why? I'm going to be so far in debt, I can't see, my eyeballs is going to pop out. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm going to go on credit and debt and buy every little thing my heart desires. No, I said nothing. And how many knows that's not the will of God? So I'm going to have some discipline there. And any time that I'm getting out of that, guess who's going to correct me? Scotty? No, God's supposed to do it. And if I don't listen to God, then he'll use Scotty or he'll use preaching or somebody else. Yeah. Why? God's going to make sure that I get it. Yes. Now look at James chapter 1 right quick. I think I'm just going to read verse 16 and 17 here. Now he's talking about the verses before this. He's talking about temptation, how that when a man is tempted, don't say he's tempted to God, because God doesn't tempt anybody to do evil. He never tried to get somebody to kill somebody. When I have a temptation, it's because there's something in me. It's kind of like fishing. Certain fish usually bite certain kinds of bait, and usually they won't bite a different kind of bait, right? I mean, you got bream and different things. They'll bite a worm or whatever, you know, and other fish, they like other things, you know, and Scotty fishes usually spinners and all this stuff, and that's usually your bass fishing, you know, and you got crappie jigs and all this other kind of stuff. Well, the thing that the devil is, he watches.
Yep.
He's been around for millenniums. And he watches, and he knows by my actions, by my words, the thoughts he injects into my mind that I don't cast out and I yield to and different things like that. He knows most of the time what kind of bait to throw out there. And if he don't, just like a good fisherman, if Scotty's fishing and he ain't catching nothing for a while, guess what he does? Changes bait. Why? To keep throwing out the line, because find something that is appealing to that fish. And that's exactly what the devil does. He keeps throwing things out there to find something to tempt that's appealing to something that's already on the inside of me. And God says he does not do that. He doesn't tempt me to do evil. But notice here in verse 16, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where?
Above.
And cometh down from who?
Father.
The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, there's no darkness in him. God never cast a shadow. He's total light. Total goodness. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, oh man, I want to see how deep we need to go into this story. Y'all probably wouldn't know it because of what I do at Sunday school and stuff like that. I'm usually a very private person. I don't like people knowing my business. Kind of like I heard Johnny told somebody one time, they said, where are you going? He said, oh, I didn't tell you. I guess that means I didn't want you to know. I like that one, Johnny. I use that one. I'm kind of like that. But because I do Sunday school, there's a lot of times God will have me tell you something that happened in my life that God done, or I got corrected or something. That's going to be down the lines this morning. And I don't like it. Why? Because number one, it ain't none of your business. But God, he has me too sometimes. So here we go. Now, Scotty's been in the garage door business since what? 96, 90-something anyway. I can't remember. Long time. And when he first started, our lights was being cut off every other month. You know, they just let you go 2 months or whatever, and they cut you off. I mean, we just barely get by. We get saved and everything. God puts him in his own business and all of that. And how many knows, if you're in your own business, you really got to trust God. You know. So lo and behold, years goes by. God takes care of us, you know, prospers us. We tithe, we give. God blesses, you know. But now we're just to the point to where we make it every week. Y'all know what I'm saying? We make it every week. So we move over here. And this is about 2008, somewhere around in this. And the economy starts going down. Now, the way Scotty did the garage doors at this particular time, because we went from lights cut off every other month to now the lights are staying on, but that's all we got. He had a 30-day account at this particular time, and people would call, you know, him with the garage doors and everything, and he would call the company and tell them what he wanted, and they would send it and put it on a 30-day account. So So he would take the garage doors, go put the garage doors in, put the money in the bank, and then write them a check. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay. I'll tell y'all all that. That's how he's doing it at the time. Now, because some things happened, the economy started going down, there were some people that did not pay him. Now, we're living from week to week, just barely. If the washer breaks, we don't got the money to fix it. That's where we are at this particular time. God's prospered us to this point, to that point. Now, because the economy went down and some people didn't pay. I remember one guy, he owed $600, you know, and he didn't pay or whatever. Scotty called him, told him, you know, and said, man, I just ain't got it, blah, blah, blah. And Scotty said, okay, just forget it. He forgive him that money or whatever. Well, here he is. We got to pay that $600. I don't got the $600, Johnny. Right. Then there were some other people, they didn't pay and different things like that. And then because we kept spending money that wasn't our money, but we thought it was going to come in, y'all know what I'm talking about? We helped that out a little bit, so we got a little bit farther behind and all of that. And lo and behold, now they want their money. I ain't got their money. Everybody that's supposed to pay him ain't sent their money. Some of them ain't going to send it. They don't have it. Some of them actually even went out of business. Some of the contractors that he did doors for. Now we are in a mess, and this goes on for months. Mm-hmm. How many knows God's all into paying your bills? The Bible says, he said, swear to your own hurt and change not. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? If I tell you I'm going to do something, let everything on the inside of me that I can possibly do it, get it done. Right. I'm not talking about if it costs me. I mean, let me interject a little story here. Y'all remember where we was at in this one, because this one just came up. Y'all heard the story, most of you have, where Scotty was up there. We lived here, his mama lived here, and then he had a nephew that lived over here on the other side of her. And he was up there, and they was pulling up some trees or something with his truck, and his boy was out there with the lawnmower, and Scotty backed over his lawnmower and messed up the hood on it. Scotty told him, you know, that he would pay for it and everything. He said, ah, nah, it's okay, you know. And it already had a big, with the kid had run it into the pump house or something. So it was already messed up. He said, I'll just forget it. Scotty said, no, I'll pay you for it. Well, Scotty comes home and he tells me, and we've done come across this word. Swear to your own hurt and change not. He's done come across the word where it says a good name is rather to be chosen than fine riches and gold and silver and rubies and all of that stuff, right? And he tells me the story, and I'm okay, we're going to have to pay for it. We don't have the money to pay for it. Right. Scotty looks it up. It's going to cost $75. We don't have $75, Johnny. We do good to buy groceries every week. And sometimes we eat pinto beans three times a day. Because you can get a big old bag of them and put them in the crock pot. Y'all don't know what I'm saying. And we don't have $75. But because Scotty done that, we got to fix it. We don't have it. How are we going to fix it when we don't have it? But we know it's the right thing to do, Sandy. But it looks like I can't do it because I don't have it. In my heart, I want to do it, but in the natural, I just don't have it to do it. So we said, okay, we're going to believe God for the $75 to buy this hood to fix that with. We come into agreement. We released our faith. Okay, God, you said do this. You said swear to our own hurt and change not. You said to have a good name is better than fine gold and silver and all that. Okay, you're going to have to supply, and we will do it. Wow. Lo and behold, I can't remember now how the extra $75 come in, but it did. Yep. He ordered the hood. He took it up there, and they put it on, and his wife came down there and told me. She said that his cousin had told him, said, he'll never fix it.
Mm. Right.
We didn't know he said that. But he had told his wife what happened and said he won't ever fix that. Why? Because that's usually unheard of today. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm not talking about the world.
Right.
The world can do whatever they do. Don't do whatever they do. But how many knows if we are his and belong to him, we can't do whatever we want to do. And sometimes it's going to take faith to do what he said to do. Just like the deal about the lawnmower hood. Now back to my other story. You got it forget, did you?
No.
Where we was at? Now because of some of these people going out of business and didn't pay, and some others saying they couldn't pay, so they wouldn't send the money, and some of ours spending because they didn't send the money, we are in a mess now, and this goes on for a few months, and they want their money. We don't have their money, Johnny. I want to pay them their money. I know it's the right thing to do. Scotty wants to give them their money. He'd been buying doors from this company for years and years and years. Never had anything like this happen. And how many know sometimes once you get in the hole, you just can't seem to get out. No matter what you try to do, no matter the extra money that you seem to make, sometimes it just seems like you just can't get out. And this is where we are at this point. To the point to where it come down to where now the garage door people, they tell Scotty, okay, what was it, 1.5% of everything that you bought or whatever they was going to charge you to go on that? Yeah. You remember? Yeah. Was it 1.5 or whatever?
Yeah.
Something like that. So in other words, anything that he ordered, they was going to make him pay an extra 1.5% off of that bill. And how many, we can't do that, Donnie. Just can't make it that way. And during this time, garage doors are just not much coming in. Nobody's calling and ordering garage doors. Money's running out. We're still coming to church. We're still tithing. We're still giving the little bit that we have. Until, lo and behold, this goes on for months. We get behind on, well, on I think every vehicle we have at that time. We have a house payment that's $800-something a month at that time. I mean, we don't have anything pretty much that is paid for. We owe on everything, and now everything's getting 2 months behind. They're sending us letters on our house. They're fixing to do what's called an accelerated foreclosure. I have given away my trailer that we had remodeled and the land that we had to Scotty's sister. I've got nowhere to go, Johnny, and I've got a 16-year-old kid I got to take care of. And I got nothing. And nothing is coming in, seems like. And we're praying, and we're fasting, and we're seeking God, and we're rebuking the devil. Y'all remember that, we're rebuking the devil. He ain't getting nothing in mind. So this goes on for a period of time. Things are just getting worse and worse and worse and worse, to the point to where we are now just being barely sustained. Bills are not being paid. I'm having to figure out, do I pay the light bill or do I pay the water bill? You understand what I'm talking about? Because you don't got enough money to pay both of them together. So you're going to figure out, do you want to drink water or do you want to sit in the dark? Which one are you going to do? And I'm saved. And I know what the scripture says. That my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm quoting these scriptures to God. And I'm believing these scriptures and they're getting worse. And I can't figure out what in the world is going on. I mean, I have to try to scrape up some change to buy some school pictures for Travis. And y'all know how 16-year-olds, they want everything. And they want to eat the house down before it even gets supper time.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. To where there's times it looks like we don't have enough gas money to get to church. And this comes on now, and time goes on until we get to the point to where we eat our last, what I would call, a whole meal. In the cabinet, we've got a half a jar of peanut butter left, and we've got a can of cream of mushroom soup. There is no meal, or as well called a big meal, left. And like I said, I got a 16-year-old kid that wants to eat the house down, and all this stuff. Scotty goes to men's meeting at Faith Restoration. What's what they have a men's meeting? I don't know if they still do or not. Where it's just men, you know, and usually somebody preaches and they might eat or something afterwards. But anyway, he goes to men's meeting. And he asks Brother Brad to pray for him. Now, nobody knows this is going on in our lives. God won't let us tell nobody nothing. And at this time, Scotty doesn't get any money from the church. Everything that we do, we have to put money into it or whatever, you know. He doesn't get paid any money from the church or anything like that. It's only his garage door business that he gets any money from. Anyway, he goes to the men's meeting. And he asked Brother Brad to pray for him. And he don't tell Brother Brad anything. He just says, like some of y'all do, come up here, you know, we're supposed to just read your mind or get it through a gift of the Spirit, boy. And he prays for him. And he starts speaking in tongues. And then he tells him, Brother Scotty, he said, I see you. He said, and you are in quicksand. He said, and the quicksand is God. Y'all ain't say nothing. Ooh, you don't want in God's quicksand, I tell you right now. Why? You ain't getting out till you do the right thing. So lo and behold, he tells him, I see you in quicksand, and this quicksand is God. Scotty comes home, and he tells me, and I know, in here I know what he's telling me is so. Up until this point, Sandy, I knew what was the right thing to do, but I didn't know how to do it, and, you know, and rebuking the devil, you know, and all this other stuff. I don't really know, to a certain degree, what's going on. And anyway, he tells me, well, Brother Brad tells him, you know, that he sees him in quicksand, and the quicksand is God, and I know this is the situation that is the quicksand. And then we have this lawyer. The door company gets a lawyer, and that we get served papers. I think it's, what, $16,000-something by interest and penalties and what we owe and all this stuff piled on together and everything, and we get served papers. Now they're going to sue us, and this lawyer keeps calling us. And Scotty keeps telling the lawyer, man, I can't, he tries to get him to agree to this and pay this and do this. You know how they do. And Scotty won't do it. Why? Because we don't want to lie. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all want to lie?
No.
I don't want to lie. We don't want to lie. We don't want to tell them we're going to do something that we know or believe that we cannot do. How can I do something that I can't do? So anyway, he keeps calling, and this one particular time, Scotty's on the phone with him, you know, and he's getting kind of heated. And I tell him, I said, just agree with him. Just agree with him. At this time, he's wanting Scotty to pay something like $500 a month until this thing is paid for. We don't have $500 a month. Oh, don't you know if I had it, I'd give it to you? And I told him, I said, just agree with him. Just tell him you will do it, agree with him. So Scotty tells him, okay, look, man, you draw the papers up or whatever, and I'll agree, I'll pay you $500 a month. Well, he gets off the phone, and we're like, how in the world are we going to pay this $500 a month? I mean, we're barely even eating. And so we come into agreement, just like we did with the hood. God, we don't know how we're going to pay this.
Amen.
But God, we know it's the right thing to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. You're going to have to supply. To make a long story short, that week, after we said it, the week after that, Scotty got a call. These people, I can't remember now if it was Coleman or where it was, they're building a mini storage. And y'all know they have them little roll-up doors, the whatever you call them. Anyway. Yeah, mini doors in them. Mini doors, you know, that roll up or whatever in them. He gets the job. He makes $8,000 that week.
Right. Yeah.
Now, during all this time, and then after this, this helps us get all of our bills caught up.
Right.
But we still don't have the... why? The $500 a month, Johnny's going to take a long time to pay $16,000-something at $500 a month.
Right.
We don't want it that way. We like it now. Like the 8,000.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, nobody knows about this situation except God. Sandy calls us back there, and she says, you know, the Lord has been dealing with my heart, put it on my heart that Scotty needs to start getting paid $500 a month.
Christ.
I kid you not.
Exactly.
She knew nothing. We didn't tell nobody. God paid that $500 a month, every month, from this church until it was gone.
Bless him, Lord. Awesome. Bless him.
Now, see, I'm not just telling you a story. There's people that's sitting in this room, and there's people that's going to listen by way of internet, that they are in the same kind of situations, and in their heart, they want to do the right thing. They love God, they want to obey God, but they can't see how.
Amen.
But God says, if you'll trust me, if you'll commit to do what I've told you to do, and you'll trust me, I'll do it.
Come on, we'll try.
So, every month, we sent that $500 a month to that lawyer until that was paid for. And they knocked off, I think, the last $2,000-something dollars. They had knocked off the penalties and the interest and all that until that was completely paid for. And she knew nothing about that situation, but God knew. And see, that's how come I say sometimes God has got 101 ways to figure out my situation that ain't even crossed my mind yet. I never would have dreamed that $500 a month would have come that way. Never. He never wanted any money from the church or anything like that, you know, but the most of the time churches, you know, they have a house that you live in or something, a parsonage, with that, what they call it, or, you know, something like that or whatever, you know, but this church, you know, didn't do anything for us. at the time as far as financially or anything like that. And lo and behold, and that's how come y'all hear Scotty sometime, and he's just messing with y'all. You know, he said, I need a raise, you know. Y'all hear him? That's why he says that, because he started getting that money from the church, you know, and he's did. And the Lord has used Sandy, you know, to increase it at different times. And I told him one time, I said, listen, I'm getting tired of hearing how you need a raise. You don't work for us.
Amen.
If you want to work for us, you're going to do what we tell you to do. Now, if you want a raise, you better be telling God, because you don't work for us. So y'all think down them lines too, if y'all hear him say that again. You don't work for us, buddy. I ain't paid you nothing. But how many knows God? He is so good.
Yes.
You know, and the thing about it, did it feel good when this was going on? No, it didn't feel good. This was awful. I mean, it was just awful. And the thing about it is, some of it God delivered us right then, and there was other parts of it. God made us walk out that $500 a month over a cover. I think it took us about a couple of years, you know, to finally get that over with. But guess what that does? That builds patience. That builds endurance.
Sure does. Man.
That's why he says, correction don't feel good at the time. But you know what, Johnny? I know this about God. He does it because he loves me. See, God, he's so good. Scotty had a, some of y'all know Bill Barrio, some of you don't. I got just a couple minutes left. I'm going to tell the story. He's an apostle. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But he was an apostle that used to come to our church at Faith Restoration when we went to church there. And he didn't know us, and I think it may have been the first time we had ever even seen him. You know, Scotty had went up there, you know, for prayer, but he didn't tell him anything and to let Brother Brad pray for him. And Bill Barrio standing there beside of him, and Bill Barrio looks at him, and he says, you have chosen him, God, to teach your people how to prosper. Now, they didn't know Scotty had told God that. See, Scotty comes from a family of so many, he never had anything. I mean, just poverty ingrained. They would get for Christmas what the boys got the year before for Christmas. That was wore out, you know. I mean, when I met him, I think he had on a pair of pants that was sewed up with fishing line, you know. And so that's how he grew up. But in his heart, God had picked him, Johnny. God wanted to use him to bless him and to be a blessing to other people. And Scotty had told God, God, if you give me the finances, I'll do this for somebody, you know, or I'll do this. And in his heart, he meant it. And he told him, he said, God, you've chosen him. You've picked him to teach your people how to prosper. Well, how many knows God's not going to allow us not to pay our bills? Come on now. And teach people how to prosper.
Right.
Because if I'm going to teach people how to prosper, I got to prosper, and I got to do it the right way. Because the ends doesn't justify the means. God is more interested in how I get somewhere than where I end up at. And because he loves us, he corrects us, he said. He does it for our profit. He does it for our benefit.
Yeah.
Why? Because he loves us. So I'm here to tell you this morning, if you feel like you're in grief, and listen, there was not one evil thing about this.
Nope.
That's why I read the scripture. All good things come from God. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly to the full till it overflows. But he says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen, there's no killing, stealing, and destroying in this. It's just God has shut up the heavens to where I ain't getting nothing. What's the tithe? What's the promise to the tithe? You'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing where there won't even be room enough to receive. Well, what if it stopped up? Did the devil stop it? Does he have that kind of power? Does he have that authority over me? No. God did this. And God is like, okay, when y'all decide to do the right thing, and trust me, I'll open the windows back up. And he opened them back up, and they've been open ever since, and I won't ever have to go through that again. Because now I know right off the bat, if there's a situation, okay, God, I can't fix this, I can't do it, I can't provide for it, but I'm going to say, yes, sir, here we go.
Yeah.
I've got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comment?